Nick, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. Doing very well. Let's start before we get to the Broncos. I want to get into this Chris Carter thing a little bit with a guy that's, you know, been in the league and been around this situation before. What was your reaction when you heard the news break over the weekend?
You know what? Let me go back. Let me start by saying this. The rookie symposium is supposed to be an opportunity for former guys who played the game to come back and talk about the trials and tribulations, to pretty much let the new generation know exactly what they're going to be expected to do as far as protecting the brand. And hearing what Chris Carter said, and this kind of took place in 2014 at the rookie symposium, I felt a little throwed off by it. What I mean by that, I felt a little concerned about what he was saying. Now, I understand the idea of trying to prepare guys for what they're going to face. And we have to choose wisely what we say, because a wise man once told me that your words can plant seeds of encouragement or doubt. And to me, to tell guys you need a fall guy, what are we really saying to these guys? And I grew up in an inner city environment. I know what it's like. And I tell kids when I talk to them now, you have to have the ability to separate yourselves from members like that. You know who they are, whether it's your uncle, it's your best friend. Hell, it could be your brother. You have to separate yourself, but to kind of like tell them to have a fall guy in your crew, because you're going to get in trouble is inevitable. So you have to have someone in your crew that's willing to take the fall for you, and then you go bail them out. To me, to have two Hall of Fame guys stand on stage, one to say it and the other to echo the sentiments, mm-hmm. to me, it only plays and perpetuates what people think of professional athletes to begin with. And I just didn't agree with it.
And it's interesting. I mean, the NFL has had so many issues here off the field the last couple off seasons, and this comes out as well. And it's another kind of black mark here on this league with the way things are going, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is, and, you know, I respect Chris Carter. I watched him play as I was growing up, and I even watched him on ESPN Monday Night Football. He does a great job, one of the best at it, but this is not something that you can't condone. And if you're sitting there in that room and you're hearing Chris say these things, you know, as a player, maybe they won't say anything because they're youngsters. They're just, you know, coming along, listening to two Hall of Fame guys. But someone else in that room has to say something. You know, Chris, that wasn't cool. And if they did say it, have him to go back in that same room and tell the guys, listen, I don't want you to take what I said out of context. Maybe I didn't say it the right way. My heart was in a great place, but it didn't come out the right way. And tell them exactly what they need to hear. And for me, growing up in Miami, you know, playing in the same type of neighborhood that, you know, when you look at Teddy Bridgewater, the neighborhood that he played in, and to bring him on stage and say, well, you're from Miami, you know how that is. No, don't do that to that young man. Because imagine this, fellas. Imagine if that was a rookie symposium that took place before the draft even took place, even happened.
Okay.
What kind of perception would any team might have had of Teddy Bridgewater? Does he have the tendency to go down that dark path? How much do we know about that particular person? And when you're in a position of power, you have to use it the right way. So Chris Hart might have been in the right place, but the way that he articulated it, it came out poorly.
Nick Ferguson joins us here. He's a former NFLer, also covers the Broncos, 94.1 Mile High Radio. I think it's a good idea, though, right, to have guys, I mean, like yourself, like Chris Carter, come back and talk to these guys, get them ready for, I mean, everything that's thrown at, I would imagine young people coming to this league, all of a sudden lights are on, things are different, especially coming out of harsh places, like you mentioned. This is a good thing. It's just, like you said, the heart's in the wrong spot, or the right spot, but the wrong words, right?
Well, yeah, you have to understand, anytime you do something and associate them with the league, it's going to affect the brand. So you always have to make sure it's coming from a positive place. You can talk about some of your, you know, past transgressions, some things that you've been involved with or you've seen, but let's curtail those to the message that you're trying to deliver to this new group that's coming in. You're coming into an environment, lights, camera, media, there's money, there's going to be people out there trying to pull at you from every angle. Teach them how to properly handle that. And see, I've never been asked to go to the rookie symposium. Even before this story broke, I've been trying to connect with the right people to get in so I can give a little bit of either my story to these guys, because there's going to be some issues that you face both on and off the field, but it's like, are you prepared to handle those issues? Because we can teach them about X's and O's, but are we teaching them the fundamentals of life and how to survive that? That's the big thing.
Nick Ferguson joins us, former NFL player. Nick, one of your former teams was in the headlines for all the wrong reasons in training camp, the New York Jets. Geno Smith had his jaw broken by a teammate. Have you ever been on a team that's that dysfunctional where a starting quarterback is fighting with teammates during training camp?
No, I haven't. And I also say this. I've been on teams where, you know, things have gotten a little heated over the summer. It's hot. You are engaged in physical activities. Individuals are competing for jobs. So things get a little hot and heated. But coaches wanted to be competitive, you know, not combative. So to hear something taking place with the New York Jets and happen to Geno Smith, another guy from the area, Miami area, you know, I was appalled a little, because I'm like, where's the veteran leadership? Usually when something happens like that, the offensive linemen are the first individuals to intervene, but that didn't happen. And even Brandon Marshall, a former teammate of mine, is saying, well, listen, it didn't go down the way that it was being, you know, articulated in the media that, you know, Geno put his finger, you know, in EK's face. We don't know, but to me, in the locker rooms that I've been a part, things like that don't happen. You know, no one attacks the quarterback. Everyone's trying to protect the quarterback because he's going to get you to the promised land. He's going to win you games and get you to the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, everyone makes money. But to me, I don't know, this is one of those things where I got to look at the veteran leadership in that locker room and say, well, who was around when this altercation took place? Because usually when two people are about to argue or something is about to escalate, words are exchanged, and you know it. Someone should have stepped in.
Nick, it seems like we're seeing quite a few fights at training camp this year. Is that just because of the 24-hour news cycle, social media, everyone has a camera on their phone, or does this just stuff happen all the time and we're kind of seeing it now more than ever?
No, this type of activity doesn't happen all the time. Last year, wasn't a great abundance of fights and altercations. There's been more reported now than I've ever, you know, been involved with and knew about in my playing days. It could be the fact of, you know, more cameras around seeing it, but to my knowledge and my 10 years in the NFL, I've never seen it. This is the most I've ever heard about it. And the Washington Redskins, Houston Texans fight, there was a former NFL player now in the media who was saying when the fight start occurred that, hey, this is training camp. This is what's supposed to happen. No, it's not. Your job is to go out there, fine-tune the timing and rhythm to be competitive for that NFL grind. It's not a time to go out there and go to fisticuffs because you lose a guy because he breaks a hand, he breaks a jaw. That changes the complexity of your playoff implication. And everyone's in the game to win. So to me, to go along with that type of behavior, one, I don't condone it, but now you talk about the leadership in those locker rooms and on those teams. Someone's got to step in and someone's got to say, well, listen, this ends right here.
Nick Ferguson joining us here on the show today. I know you penned an open letter to undrafted free agents as well at the Players Tribune. Briefly, tell me a little bit about the Turk.
Well, the Turk is someone that every NFL player wants to avoid. Hopefully, there are players who will never see him. I've seen him a couple of times before my career got on track. Basically, that is someone who is works within the organization, and that person's job or one of their jobs is to go and deliver bad news to a player. And those words that every man hates in the NFL is bring your playbook, coach wants to see you. That's when your heart goes into your stomach, and that's when you know your NFL career has been cut short. And at some point, hopefully you get a chance to put it back on track. But the Turk, as I put in there, is like one of those wraiths from Lord of the Rings, someone you don't want to see.
Yeah, and I encourage people to go check that out as well. It's a pretty nice piece of the Players Tribune. Quickly here, we got you on originally to talk about the Broncos a little bit. Tell me about where the Broncos are at here as we move through the preseason in your mind.
Well, they have the San Francisco 49ers coming in town to practice with them a couple of days before they play them on Saturday. That's going to be great interaction with the Broncos. I know they're trying to fine-tune and solidify some pieces on the offensive line, so it's always great to play against a different team. You face the Seattle Seahawks and their speed defense. Then you face the Houston Texans and Romo Crennel and what he likes to do defensively. So now to see Jim Tom Sula and what he's going to do up front with his defensive guys, that's one, once again, is going to fine-tune them, because that third preseason game for a lot of teams in the league, that is that measuring stick, and that's the momentum you want to carry over into the regular season, because it's going to be another week and a half before you actually play. I think it's going to be a great showing for the Broncos. They got to come out and they got to compete, but you still have a couple of position battles that are taking place, and guys are now able to separate themselves, if you will, to now solidify themselves as a legitimate starter or potential backup.
Do they handle Peyton Manning any different this year down the stretch if they can get a few games ahead? Do they give him some time off to rest up for the playoffs in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen Greg Popovich used the same strategy in the NBA. So the Broncos have been trying to use the same thing with Peyton, keeping him out of a couple of early mini camp and training camp practices, and also keeping him out of the first couple of games in the preseason. They wanted to take a better look at Brock Osweiler as they look towards the future, because his contract is up. They want to determine if he is justifiable to receive another contract at this particular point. They need to know that he can be Peyton Manning's Aaron Parent. But to me, you want to do that with your veterans. Kubiak comes from the same school as Mike Shanahan, and Mike Shanahan used to do the same thing with his veterans. So it's about being wise and being smart with your veterans and having them fresh at the end.
Great stuff. Nick Ferguson, 94.1 FM, Mile High Radio. Check him out on Twitter as well, at @NickFerguson_25. Appreciate the time as always, Nick. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, guys. Appreciate it.